Thanks for checking out Podcasts on the Gin. The latest episode of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn starts now.
Did for the gym class today. He blew my mind with the 303. That's the time and that's the date. We'll have to wait until April 3rd. Not even looking at the calendar. It's probably a Saturday or a Sunday. Knowing my luck, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and online at KGYMRadio.com. Don't forget the all-new Jim OT as well, 107.5 FM, where within the last hour, Scott Unash was wrapping up from Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. Still plenty of action on the docket tonight and the rest of this week as the girls' state basketball tournament continues on. We've got West Branch and Osage coming up at 8:15 tonight. That game is actually going to be on 106.3 FM. The game that most folks in Eastern Iowa are going to have their attention turned to, though, Carver Hawkeye Arena. 8 o'clock tip-off tonight between the Hawkeyes and the Boilermakers. Alex, I'm a little concerned here. Have you ever done 3 hours of radio before? Are you going
This is the first time.
Filling in for Scott Unash today and now sitting in his regular spot for 2 hours with me. Purdue and Iowa. Iowa, a five-point favorite tonight at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. By the way, details about how you can enjoy the NCAA tournament with us at the Elite Sportsbook coming, let's say, momentarily here. We'll let you know. We'll fill you in on that sometime here in the first hour tonight. Iowa undefeated at home in Big Ten play. Alex, the only team in the Big Ten to not lose at home this season, and I don't see any reason to believe that that's going to change tonight. I like the Hawks, and I like them big.
It's hard to disagree with. I want to, but I can't. I think that this team is better than the Purdue Boilermakers, especially at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I think they're confident. I think that they have some depth that they've found in the past couple of weeks from a scoring standpoint. And when CJ Frederick's on the floor, they're, to me, a Sweet 16 contender type team, a team that can break the streak of not getting to the Sweet 16. But the first things first, tonight is huge in so many ways. Tonight can, to me at least, lock up a six or higher seed. As I said, that would be the highest seed that Iowa has gone into the NCAA tournament. And I'm talking about the NCAA tournament, of course. That's the highest seed that would be the highest seed they've ever had under Fran McCaffrey. And also, it keeps their hopes alive for a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament and a double bye.
Buttons is on the other side of the glass, frantically waving his arms, saying, "What about me? What about me?" Yes, we do have the third member of the crew with us tonight. Buttons ready to take your phone calls at 319-366-1600. That doubles as the First Federal Credit Union text line as well. Again, the number 366-1600. Luca Garza needs just 14 points tonight to set the single season scoring mark in Iowa history. And you take a look at the top five, Luca currently occupying the number two spot. And it is a who's who of Hawkeye basketball. John Johnson sitting atop the record board at 699 points. Luka 14 behind him at 686. And Roy Marble, Fred Brown, and Andre Woolridge rounding out the top five. Luka Garza, the first Hawkeye to score 700 points in a season if he can get 15 or more tonight. Lots of There's a lot on the line tonight in Big Ten play. Iowa and Purdue, one of three games. We'll get to the other two in just a little bit. But the phone lines are open for you, 319-366-1600. Let's go to Don. Don, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Alex and Todd, good to talk to you.
Thanks for calling, Don.
What's on your mind? Show. Alex, you know me from the Voice of the Spartans down here in Solon.
Oh, okay, I do.
We even had a cold beverage together one Friday night. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That's not why I called, though, although that was fun. It has occurred to me that this Hawkeye team, and I'm very excited about tonight, I think they can get the Boilers. I'm with you on that, Alex. But thinking back, John Campbell did a little story on Rick Mount, February 28th. It was the 50th anniversary of Mount going off for 61. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, we talked about it last week on the program. I think it was Thursday or Friday.
I was with you, but I just didn't get called in. But what I really called about, not only the Mount thing and the but that Miller six-pack team, 1970, this is the 50th anniversary of that team. And forgive me if I missed it, but did we honor that team at halftime and bring out Vidnovic and Calabria and Freddie Brown? And, of course, we can't bring out John Johnson. He's passed. But Dick Jensen, Ben McGilmer, wouldn't that have been cool to honor those guys, the last Iowa team to win a Big Ten title outright?
Certainly was a great thought. If it happened, it was not at one of the games that I was at this season.
Me neither, and I didn't want to come out and cast any aspersions as to why, but or if it was Gary Barta's job. I know Fran's got lots on his plate when you're trying to put a lineup together. But part of what Fran, when he came in 10 years ago, was to embrace the tradition of Iowa basketball.
And Don, I think he's done a great job of that. I mean, it would be hard to argue. He's gotten a lot of the former players to get involved and be back around the program again. So he has done a very good job of that. But, yeah, maybe somebody somewhere along the line dropped the ball on honoring that particular team this year, because I don't remember or recall anything, seeing anything.
I don't either.
About honoring that anniversary and two of those players, as I mentioned, on the top five, the all-time single season scoring mark, number one and number four, at least number one for another 24 hours, give or take, unless something goes wrong with Luka Garza tonight. But that Miller's six-pack team, we should have conversed with Mac a little bit about this last night when he joined us on the program, because he's intimately familiar with that era of Iowa basketball. To think that they did all of that without the three-point line is still, for me, hard to fathom. And by the way, we've got Scott Dochterman of The Athletic set to join us coming up at 5 o'clock tonight, and we're going to get a coronavirus-inspired woodja on tap today. So we got a great program for you. I don't want you going anywhere. 366-1600.
Don let it out of the bag. I have tried an adult beverage before in my life.
That doesn't surprise me. There's nothing wrong with that.
Only one, though. It was only one time.
I had a couple on the couch last night watching Better Call Saul, one of my favorite shows on TV. If you're a Breaking Bad fan, you'll recognize a couple of the guys who appeared on last night's episode. Don, appreciate the phone call. You guys can follow him, 366-1600, as we anticipate history being made tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It is senior night. You got Ryan Kreener, Bakari Evelyn, and Riley Till all going through their final home game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Mentioned it being one of three Big Ten games tonight. Iowa, a 5.5-point favorite over the Boilermakers. It's the late game. Michigan State is at Penn State tonight. Penn State, a 1.5-point underdog at home. And Maryland on the road at Rutgers. Rutgers favored in that game by 1 point, although I saw Maryland go on the road and struggle a little bit against Minnesota last week, but able to pull out a victory at Williams Arena. I think Maryland wins that game tonight over Rutgers and solidifies its standing atop the Big Ten, but just a hunch. Don't take my word for it.
That's going to be a very interesting game, because Rutgers desperately needs that game.
It's a great night of basketball.
Desperately need that game.
In the Big Ten, and it's also a good night of basketball in the state of Iowa, too, because not only is Iowa in action, but Iowa State taking on West Virginia at Hilton Coliseum. We'll have that game for you on 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM. We will join up with John Walters at 7 o'clock on those two frequencies. That is when the pregame begins, tip-off between the Mountaineers and the Cyclones, expected to be around 8 o'clock tonight. So 319-366-1600 again is the number to reach us here as we anticipate a historic night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. As somebody pointed out on the text line, the 700 Club, no Pat Robertson jokes, please, but the 700 Club – begins tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Now, I guess the question is, when does he get it? When does he do it? Does he do it in the first half? Does he do it midway through the second half? Is Purdue going to have an answer for him tonight? Is it going to be difficult for him, him being Garza, to get the 14-plus points tonight? The way that he's played this year, and we've had the Obi Toppin discussion already on the program. He's my player of the year, Luka Garza. I think he's a lot of people in Iowa's player of the year. Another opportunity for him to have a big game tonight, his what could be his last at Carver Hawkeye Arena. He hasn't made any indications yet, and there's a very good chance that he decides to come back next year. And there's also an opportunity for him, if he wanted it, to pursue professional opportunities, but you keep that in the back of your mind tonight as you watch him as well. There's no indication at this point that he won't be back. Let me be very frank about that, even though I've said from the get-go at the beginning of the season that he was, in my opinion, an NBA prospect, that he was going to be in the discussion. That does not mean, by the way, a lottery pick. It just means that all season long I've said watch for this guy to have the type of season where he starts getting notice from professional teams and professional circles, and that certainly is what has occurred with Luka Garza this season. 319-366-1600. Again, also doubles as the First Federal Credit Union text line. FirstFedCU.com is the website where you can check out what First Federal has to offer for you. You mentioned that Iowa's basically playing for, Iowa's still playing for a lot. And that's why I like Iowa big tonight over the Boilermakers, who, by the way, have won the last three meetings between these two teams by an average of 25 points. So Purdue hasn't just won. Purdue has blown the doors off when you average out over the last three contests. Iowa's playing for a double bye at the Big Ten tournament. Iowa's playing for its NCAA tournament resume. Iowa's playing to end the season undefeated in Big Ten play on its home court. There's a lot to play for tonight for the Hawkeyes.
I feel like they're also trying to stay in the NCAA tournament mode. Like, I feel like when you talk about the NHL or Major League Baseball or really even the NFL, teams at the top will always talk about how we're in playoff mode now. The end of the season, we may have had midway through the season, you're not necessarily pushing all the buttons. You're not necessarily firing on all cylinders. That's okay. Towards the end of the season, we're in playoff mode. For the Iowa Hawkeyes, they look like they've been in NCAA tournament mode now for about a week. And the way that they played on the road against Michigan State, the way that they played at home against Ohio State, you felt them kind of survive that Minnesota game and then kick everything in gear. And they want to stay in that mode because there's no telling what they can do with the current team that they have this year. And they're better than Purdue. And they're going to be locked in defensively. That is my prediction. Purdue will not have 19 three-point field goals tonight. The one thing you always have to worry about with Iowa is that dreaded cold shooting night. And it rears its ugly head about once every five or six games. Now, we saw it against Minnesota. They were able to survive it. Other than that, outside of that, I like Iowa to win and cover this game.
Luka Garza could have an off night and still become Iowa's single-season all-time scorer. The text line very adamant about that. Yeah.
His worst night of the Big Ten slate.
And it would still get the job done.
How many consecutive 20-point games has he had? It's ridiculous. That above anything this year, I know that so many people want to give credit to the supporting cast around him, and absolutely. Some of those guys have been great. C.J. Frederick has been great. Joe Wieskamp up until the last few games has been great. But I think the fact is that Iowa, when was the last time we saw them with a National Player of the Year candidate? I certainly can't even wrap my hand around one being even close. And we're talking about a guy who is the front runner right now where it's a two-horse race, and he keeps putting up 20 and 10 nights easily, and he's a front runner for National Player of the Year. And that's why, going back to that discussion about him winning that award, most valuable player, what's sort of the definition of that? Someone who's valuable to their team. Iowa is ranked 18th in the country right now, a team that coming into the year was expected to do nothing, and in large part, it's because they have a safety blanket in Luka Garza that they just never had.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to join us here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Again, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the new Jim OT, 107.5 FM as well. No doubt in my mind at this point that Iowa is going to be safely in the NCAA tournament right now, anywhere between a 5, 6, 7 seed. You can enjoy the NCAA tournament with us. We're going to be hanging out at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. I don't know the exact time yet for this, but it is the first full day, Thursday, March 20th. We're going to be there for several hours. How we conned management here into allowing us to do that, I have no idea, but it should be a fun time, should be a great atmosphere. Remember, this is the first year, first season where we've been able to enjoy the ability to legally wager on the NCAA men's basketball tournament here in the state of Iowa. And so we'll have details for you, more details, that is, at kgymradio.com as the date draws closer. But come hang out with us and watch the games. There's nothing like watching March Madness and the NCAA tournament in that type of setting.
That's what I've been told. I have a cousin who frequents Las Vegas quite a bit. His wife was a professional poker player in Las Vegas, and he told me before all of the laws passed to allow legalized sports gambling outside of Nevada that there is nothing like being in a sports book during March Madness. He's like, yeah, the Super Bowl's kind of crazy. It gets packed. Big fights, once again, crazy. It gets packed. But the NCAA tournament is the best time to be in a sports book with everybody having money on the line and seeing the highs and lows of it. There needs to be a One Shining Moment video for just people visiting a sports book during the NCAA tournament, the range of emotion that goes on.
John in Columbus Junction, there you go. I know you're not a big college basketball fan, but I do know that you enjoy your trips to the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. So we'll, again, have more details for you on that as they become available, but very happy to be out and about on the first full day of March Madness. The question is you and I going to be in the picture as well as the Hawkeyes? The Missouri Valley Conference Awards, postseason awards came out today. A.J. Green and Austin Fife, both named to the first team All-Missouri Valley Conference squad, and Isaiah Brown picking up an all-defensive nod for the Panthers as well. Green and Fife are only sophomores. And we've tiptoed around the subject of some job openings coming in the Big Ten in Midwestern or primarily bordering states here, and we've done so without going down the avenue of specifically mentioning Ben Jacobson for some of those openings, although a number of our listeners on the text line have as well. And you got Green and Fife, two more years of those guys, presumably at Cedar Falls. If I'm Ben Jacobson, I'm not exactly in a hurry to get out the door anytime soon and take on a new professional challenge, but that's just me. And you and I, of course, is focusing its efforts on getting ready for Arch Madness.
And also great news, Panther fans. Greg Gard is pulling a Greg Gard at Wisconsin. They've won 6 in a row.
I admit that it was a lot easier to have that discussion about whether or not there would be an opening in Madison about 2 weeks ago,
right,
regardless of the record. There are some things looming over the program, and if they have some sort of catastrophic fade here down the stretch or an early exit at the Big Ten tournament and an early exit out of the NCAA tournament. Who knows what can happen at this point? I definitely think there's an opening in Minneapolis. I just, you cannot convince me that Richard Pitino is coming back. I think Minnesota would be best to move on at this point, just part ways. We'll see. The Gophers, they've shown signs of life here down the stretch, but I still can't get over Maryland collapse.
No, I think that
and the Iowa loss.
He's going to be done, but for Coach Jake, that seems like an awful fit. A pro sports town where the media is going to be on your rear end 24/7, complaining about your recruiting. It does not seem to add up, and for a coach like Ben Jacobson,
stay in Cedar Falls.
Yep.
Enjoy basically a lifetime contract there. Get your AJ Greens and your Austin Fifes occasionally. Make an NCAA tournament appearance and surprise the world and remind them that you and I as a force in the NCAA tournament every 2 or 3 years, and you got it good, as opposed to coaches who go elsewhere and it doesn't work out for them. 319-366-1600. Lots going on today, including some baseball in Eastern Iowa on March 3rd. Alex is going to fill you in on his big board update.
The Iowa basketball team is looking to finish their Big Ten home slate undefeated and avenge their most embarrassing loss of the season as they take on the Purdue Boilermakers tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena. It's senior night, so Ryan Kraner, Bakari Evelyn, and Riley Till will be honored prior to the game. The Hawkeyes were dismantled by Purdue back on February 5th, 104-68, and are looking to get the season split and stay alive for a top four seed and a double bye in the Big Ten tournament beginning at 8 p.m. It's also senior night in Ames. That means Mike Jacobson and Prentice Nixon will be playing their final games inside Hilton Coliseum as they face the scuffling West Virginia Mountaineers. Once ranked as high as 13th, the Mountaineers have lost 6 of their last 7 games. Tip-off is set for 8 p.m., as is the Iowa-Purdue game. Some MVC postseason awards. First, the Larry Bird Player of the Year, as we discussed, Todd. A.J. Green takes home that honor as the best player in the MVC. The Defensive Player of the Year goes to Isaiah Brown of UNI, and also in the first-team all-conference selection category, the Waverly Shellrock product, Austin Fife. After we got off the air last night, the NCAA Women's Selection Committee released their final top 16 reveal for the NCAA tournament. The Iowa Hawkeyes came in as the 13th overall seed, which would make them a 4 seed, and it would allow them to host the first round game as of right now. Iowa is the third highest ranked Big Ten team behind Maryland and Northwestern. The 5-4 Iowa baseball team is hosting their home opener at Duane Banks Field against Grandview on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Redshirt junior Hunter Lee is on the mound for the Hawkeyes, and I'm trying to get a score update. I believe they're still scoreless here in the top of the second inning.
So we discussed this with Rick Heller a couple weeks ago when he was on the program with us, that you never know what Mother Nature is going to have in store for you in early March.
How about a Christmas present in March?
Absolutely. You know what the Cedar Rapids Colonels would take this weather for opening day? Opening day in the Midwest League is a little over a month away. It feels a lot warmer than 46 right now. I'm going to have to recalibrate my temperature gauge on my phone and make sure that that's accurate. But baseball underway in Eastern Iowa, Duane Banks Field, and the Hawkeyes fresh off another great performance this weekend in the Twin Cities. A couple big wins. Mentioned yesterday that they've got a top 50 RPI right now. It's exactly what Rick Heller was trying to get accomplished in putting that schedule together. So while we're talking baseball, I know Colin Ray was pitching for the Cubs today. I think he had a fairly good outing in relief, the Cubs taking on the Rockies in spring training action. Mitch Keller not having the greatest spring in the Grapefruit League for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He got knocked around a little bit yesterday, now has an ERA of a north of 7, but still looking good for the former Xavier prep to break camp with the Pirates and hopefully hold down a rotation spot. They've got at least one injury and one opening there, and really, there's no reason for him not to head north with the Pirates instead of heading back to Indianapolis. So keep an eye on what Mitch and A.J. Puck are both doing in spring training, and I'll give you some updates as they're pertinent and they come along. 319-366-1600. We continue to take your texts on the First Federal Credit Union text line and the phone calls as well. Buttons on the other side of the glass, always happy to hear from you at 366-1600. So A.J. Green, your Larry Bird Player of the Year in the MVC, a well-deserved honor. Green and Fife, both first-team players. Isaiah Brown, all defensive squad. And now it's just a matter of getting down to the nitty-gritty in St. Louis. And we will have Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, with us tomorrow at 4:30 to preview Arch Madness. It is 4:29. We're going to take a quick timeout. As I mentioned earlier on, would you today, a coronavirus-inspired would you? Alex is thrilled about this one. We will break that for you when we return after this.
It's still Murphy's Bar and Grill in Riverside, a great place to stop and eat on your way to or from the beautiful Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Murphy's Bar and Grill has a nice, relaxed atmosphere where almost everybody knows your name. Plenty of spirits for your pleasure and a huge menu. Everything from incredible ahi to melt-in-your-mouth ribeye. And oh, the lasagna. Mwah! Stop on out to Murphy's Bar and Grill for a great meal and a good time. Highway 22 in Riverside, Murphy.
Where the fun never ends. Murphy's Bar and Grill.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
No matter what kind of entertainment you're in the mood for, sports talk or smart rock, you are covered with KGYM and Smart FM. A walk-off home run at the plate, or walk of life from dire straits, a long run from scrimmage, or the long run from the Eagles. Tune in anytime to satisfy your craving for infotainment. KGYM, 1600 AM, 106.3 in Iowa City, and now on 102.3 in Cedar Rapids. And Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids and 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
4:32, welcome back in. The text line positing, is this the most confident we've seen an Iowa basketball team this close to the NCAA tournament under Fran McCaffrey?
Yes.
I don't think, unfortunately for us, I don't think there's much of a discussion there. I mean, this is a team that is playing with great confidence. We've got one of the texters mentioning that a win tonight and a win over Illinois would be a nice springboard into the postseason, 0-0-5-0. I still am not going to put the Illinois game this weekend into the win column, but if Iowa can split these final two regular season games, win at home tonight, and then at least absorb a loss to the Fighting Illini, a 2-0 would be great. Let's be realistic here. Let's not freak out. 2-0 would be great, but 1-1, the most likely scenario there, you're still going to the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, that is, with a ton of confidence on your side. And you get into March situations, and sometimes confidence is all you need. That and one dominant player. And Iowa's got the dominant player, and Iowa's got the confidence right now. 319-366-1600 as we sit here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids at 4:30 on 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 and 106.3 FM. The new Jim OT, 107.5 FM as well. We welcome you aboard. If you do miss anything from today or any shows, either locally, this one or the Jim class, we always have them available to you online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question. It's brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway. Does Iowa beat Purdue tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Hawkeyes and Boilermakers will be getting underway tonight at about 8 o'clock inside Carver-Hawkeye Arena, expecting close to a full house. I imagine the 8 o'clock start time is a little difficult for some. Difficult senior night festivities to begin with. It's always a little bit of a distraction, but I've always enjoyed senior nights much better when they're on the weekend and doing it in the middle of the week. And I know Iowa doesn't have any control over the schedule, but 8 o'clock start time, Tuesday night, it's not exactly ideal for some people making their way to Carver-Hawkeye Arena, but they should have a great crowd there tonight, and it should be a good atmosphere. And again, I think the Hawkeyes are going to roll the Boilermakers tonight. 5.5, 5 points.
That's what it is. I hadn't been able to look at the Elite Sportsbooks line on this one yet.
I'm just a giant homer this Iowa basketball season. I don't know what's...
It's very simple, Todd. As we've discussed, the confidence that they have comes through the TV set. It's very apparent. So you expect them to win games, whereas teams in the past, you expected them to find ways to lose games this time of year.
Ian in Oxford, this could be the very best team at Iowa since the Tom Davis era. There were some good Steve Alford teams. The problem is they underperformed. They underperformed. They'd get into the tournament. They'd fall flat. But Alford, I will give him credit. Actually, I'll give the players credit. Guys like Luke Recker and Reggie Evans, those guys deserve the credit. There were some pretty good Iowa teams under Steve Alford. They just didn't get the job done for the most part in March. But let's not get the cart before the horse yet with this team. But it's taken shape. There was the discussion back in early January about all you need is a Luka Garza-type player in the NCAA tournament to win more than just a couple games and go a little bit further than we're accustomed to seeing around here. So it's a fun time to be a basketball fan, at least if you're a Hawkeye fan. 319-366-1600. It's not a fun time for other groups of people. So, Alex, my would you today, because we're now doing would you on Tuesdays, because why not? Would you rather be an Astros player in 2020? And I'll explain in just a little bit. You're a Cardinals fan. Maybe you saw this. Would you rather be an Astros player in 2020, or would you rather travel internationally right now with the threat of the coronavirus?
Oh, this is easy. This is easy for me, Todd. I'm traveling internationally. Easily. Now, I understand that this is a new disease, and they don't have a vaccine for it yet, and the mortality rate is somewhere around the same level as the flu, and folks with autoimmune disorders and such are exposed to this, young kids, older folks are more apt to having problems with this. But by and large, I'm taking my chances with the coronavirus. I'm not the person who's walking through the
You were just at the airport.
I'm not walking through the airport with gloves on and a surgical mask that isn't going to help me. I'm washing my hands. I'm carrying a bottle of hand sanitizer. And that's really about it. Those are the precautions I'm taking. But being an Astros player this year, I'm going to get plunked by 97-mile-an-hour fastballs. I'm going to get booed and heckled everywhere I go. To me, this is not a competition.
319-366-1600. The clip that I'm referencing, the latest debacle, the Astros, there are entire social media accounts dedicated to shaming the Astros over their role in the 2017 sign-stealing scandal that has rocked Major League Baseball. Spring training game, Cardinals, Astros, somewhere in Florida. George Springer is at the plate. George Springer is the guy who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in 2014, 2015, whenever that article was written that predicted that they would win the World Series in 2017. You guys may know what I'm talking about. You may not. Springer's at the plate. I can't remember who was on the mound. May have been Flaherty or Hudson. Maybe it was Dakota Hudson. And you hear somebody in the stands yell out, "Curveball!" right as the Cardinals pitcher throws a fastball right down the middle of the plate and Springer strikes out. And I'm thinking, I watched it probably four times today because there's a certain level of schadenfreude involved in that. But they are going to experience this every game they play outside of Houston this season. Every single time they are on the road, every game, every day, they're going to be reminded of this. You and I were chatting a little bit about Anthony Rizzo's knock on the Astros yesterday. He made a trash can banging reference when ESPN had him mic'd up. The fact that the players are openly still talking about this, and remember, Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball thought that this was going to be over by now, that they tried to sweep it under the rug, that it would blow over by spring training. The players, I think, are as mad about this as the fans are. And so I'm starting to think that Houston is in for a really long season. I can't remember what the preseason win total was the last time I looked at the Elite Sportsbook, but I would take the Astros under at this point if it's still in the mid-90s, because you got to think at some point in time that this is going to weigh on them, that by the All-Star break, they're just going to be tired. They're going to be beaten down. And they're going to be tired of schmoes like me in the stands yelling, "I think it's a curveball." You got to check the clip. Make sure you check the clip out, though, because funny.
I did see that. That was hilarious. I look at the Astros and I feel like that team is a very, very arrogant bunch. And it's worked for them in the past. It really has, but when it comes to that type of mentality going through the situation that they have, it just makes them look bad. But can they sort of have that us against the world mentality going into the season? Because if any team can, it's going to be them. But can they handle that throughout the whole year? And can they handle the fact that people are going to have their eye on them if they try to do anything as far as trying to gain an advantage?
So this is my roundabout way of also incorporating the coronavirus into a sports talk radio program, because I do think that this is a fascinating story and there are multiple sports implications here, because the Tokyo Olympics are right now in limbo. We don't know whether they're going to take place or not, or whether or not they're going to be postponed. Think about all of the logistical nightmares that would take place in postponing an entire Olympic Games. But you've now had, as of today, not one, but two of the four major sports leagues in the United States, the NBA and now Major League Baseball, have circulated memos to their teams about how to deal with the coronavirus. And I do find it laughable that both the NBA and Major League Baseball are like, stop signing autographs for fans. Don't take pens and random items from the fans, as if that's going to be the one thing that brings Zion Williamson or Mike Trout into contact with the coronavirus. But we're getting to the point now where I think you've got to take this somewhat seriously. And we have a tendency, I say we, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I see a certain amount of arrogance with this virus that it's not going to really affect us here, that this is a rest of the world problem and we're going to be A-OK here. Around the world, there are there's talks of playing games in empty stadiums, not encouraging people to get together in large crowds. Well, where do you get together in large crowds most often? Sporting events, right?
Correct.
So this is now, to me, and you've got the Olympics in peril, this is one of the biggest sports stories of 2020, possibly.
It is very fascinating, like you mentioned. And the thing that just bothers me about this whole thing is, yes, you mentioned there's this some sort of arrogance, but as with anything in 2020, there's two extreme sides of the spectrum. You get the, oh, no, this isn't going to affect us. And then you get the, oh, my God, we're all going to die crowd. And there's just so much, not necessarily misinformation out there, but you don't know the facts so many times of, okay, how is this being handled? And that's sort of the problem here in the U.S., where is this being taken care of properly? Is this being treated with the amount of importance that it should? And that's, I think, the scariest part of this, even more than the fact that, you know what, there's 60 cases right now, 22 of them, or excuse me, 33 of them confirmed, 27 currently under investigation. 9 folks in Washington State have died from it already. So this needs to be taken into account, but right now I feel like we're all scrambling, including some of the most important agencies in our country, to figure out what in the world is going on right now.
At what point do you start taking this into consideration? 319-366-1600. I mean, Carver Hawkeye are in 15,000 people there tonight. Someone's hacking next to you. In the back of your mind, it's probably just a cold. But you don't know.
Right.
And so the problem, it becomes an issue when people don't take things seriously. What's this going to kill 1% of the people? It's no big deal. That's a lot. And to me, I'm fascinated by the idea of the Olympics being completely wiped. We've seen the Olympics have issues before with countries not participating and boycotts and things of that nature, but I don't think we've ever seen the Olympics put in peril by germs. And that's essentially what this is. I should have pulled all my money out of the stock market last week and put it into Purell. It's like water. Remember the Waterworld movie with Kevin Costner? That's what we're heading toward right now, except instead of water, it's going to be Purell. And hand sanitizer that's going to be the most precious resource on the on God's green earth.
Did you see that a pack of like 50 surgical masks are going for like $80 right now?
We always do. I mean, people freak out and they go to the opposite end of the spectrum, and we can never just handle things in a calm, orderly fashion. We see this here in Iowa. Every time it snows, you can't park in the grocery store parking lot because it's jam-packed. People are buying 10 gallons of milk. When does the snowplow comes by within 24 hours. You don't need 10 gallons of milk and 9 loaves of bread. But when snow's in the forecast, what do we always do? We always freak out. I got to go to the store. I got to make sure that I have 20 loaves of bread. Well, it's good to be prepared. It's not necessarily good to be in the freakout category there. But the idea of canceling spring training or playing games in stadiums that have no fans in them, we're not there yet. But they're talking about it in Japan. the Japanese league is talking about, hey, what do we do here?
See,
you play the games, but don't let the fans congregate.
I have a friend who is actually living in Singapore right now.
You are the most interesting man in this office. You have a fan. You have a friend or a family member that's virtually doing everything.
No, this friend in particular has actually appeared on or appeared on Z102.9.
This is Sports Talk Radio, by the way. So it's a buddy.
I had a buddy, and he was posting about this, and he said that the Singapore government has done a pretty good job of containing it so far, to the point where. Obviously there have been cases, but it's been contained very well. They had a good response to it. And you look at the fact that the hysteria broke out there, the panic broke out there, and the government had a good response to it, which is an encouraging thing to see in the United States, because that same thing can happen. It's just everybody has to remain calm, but also take it seriously. It's hard in these days, like you said, Todd, for that to happen. We either want to freak out or say, whatever. It's always difficult to get people in the middle where they need to be.
If there's a worldwide pandemic going on and you've got tickets to a sporting event, are you still going? 366-1600. And most people are saying, yeah, the text line here is, this isn't any worse than the flu. Well, until it is, and I do think that there's a possibility here that this thing could get out of hand. Now, of course, everybody's saying we go through this all the time, and SARS and name
H1N1.
Yeah. And it doesn't turn out to be anything that everybody makes it out to be.
If we contain it correctly.
If it gets contained.
Then that will happen.
But the idea, to me, the fact that the NBA and Major League Baseball are talking about what to do and how to keep their players safe, to me, they're working behind the scenes. They maybe have a feeling that this could be something a little bit worse than just a bad round of flu season.
Well, they're looking into it. The problem is... What information are they being given right now?
Well, there's not. I don't think there's a whole lot of...
Exactly.
And there's also a large portion of folks out there that just automatically think that this is nothing. That this is being ginned up as a story to get people to freak out and panic. And we just... You don't know what... There are people out there that don't know what to believe anymore. Now, see me? I believe this. I believe this could be an issue. If Major League Baseball is talking about, well, we got to take precautions on this, and the NBA is talking about taking precautions on this, and the entire Olympic Games are up in the air right now because they're concerned about this, okay, I'm going to take this seriously. This is going to be, I'm really glad that it's an 8 o'clock game tonight, because normally I walk in the door and my wife will ask me how the show went, and I don't... Well, I tried to talk about the coronavirus today, and it fell completely flat. No one's concerned about it. I do think it has the opportunity to be a sports story, right?
Well, yeah, if the Olympics get canceled, then it's going to be a sports story.
March Madness, this thing starts catching on, and Thursday and Friday roll around, and you're going to an arena with 20,000 people.
Yeah, well, I just...
It takes one person not washing their hands. And trust me, I've spent 20 years of my life in press boxes. I can tell you the percentage of people who don't wash their hands after using the bathroom.
I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to know what the percentage is.
You can message me privately, and any member of the media that covers the Hawkeyes, I can out them as to whether or not they wash their hands or not. It's disturbing, the number of people that you see on a daily basis who don't wash their hands. We're talking about 20 seconds with soap and warm water, right? Who doesn't have 20 seconds to wash their hands with soap and warm water?
Apparently the sports media,
a number of
put
people.
It.
452. Well, congratulations on your retirement, Todd. When you look back on your career... What was one of the highlights? Well, I can tell you what one of the highlights wasn't. Trying to talk about the coronavirus back in 2020. God, I hope that conversation's a long way down the road, the retirement conversation. I don't want to go the way of Chris Matthews. 4:53, we'll take a quick timeout. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic is set to join us coming up to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. Iowa and Purdue tonight. Iowa State, West Virginia, a lot to get to. 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Don't miss the madness. March is the season of madness, and IMON's high-speed internet will make sure you can track your bracket, stream every game, and stay connected with your friends and family. For a limited time, you can get IMON's 100 megabit internet for only $55 per month. You'll be mad for IMON's reliable high-speed internet and superior 24/7 customer support. Sign up before March 31st to score this deal. Go to imon.net/radio to switch to IMON for only $55 per month, and find out how you can also score a free month of internet service. New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
Doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The college basketball season is heating up, and that means we must turn our attention to the Wendy's Wooden Watch. The John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Award is the most prestigious individual honor in college basketball, awarded to the country's most outstanding player, who is also making progress towards earning a degree. Past winners include basketball legends such as Michael Jordan, Candace Parker, and Kevin Durant. So who will take home this year's trophy? The 2020 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year is presented by Wendy's.
Say goodnight to frozen folded eggs and barely there bacon, America, because Wendy's is now serving up breakfast, and it's going to be America's favorite. They just don't know it yet.
These are a few of my favorite things.
We're talking freshly cracked eggs, oven-cooked bacon. How did I even do mornings before this breakfast goodness? Come into Wendy's to try our new breakfast Baconator, the Frosty Chino, and the Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit. See you in the morning. You up for this?
Favorite things, yeah.
At participating Wendy's.
Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater, plus award winners and nominees starting at under $2 a night. Now at the box and on demand, Knives Out. Nothing brings a family together like murder. In this twist-filled whodunit mystery starring Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, and more. Head to one of the 41,000 Redbox locations or stream instantly on demand. Prices may vary by location, subject to applicable taxes. Additional terms at redbox.com.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now imagine an addition on that addition.
Whoa.
That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns an interest rate 5 times the national average. That's right, 5 times, as represented by 5 times more singers. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Wipers squeaking and streaking? Now's the time to change your wipers and get ready for those spring showers. We've got the deals to help you prep your ride. Right now, if you buy 2 Bosch Envision wiper blades, you'll get a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail or email. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same-day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hampton by Hilton takes the thinking out of travel by giving you a great experience with friendly service every time. With perks like free hot breakfast featuring freshly made waffles and Chobani Greek yogurt smoothies. Knowing you made the right choice about where to stay frees up your brain to think about other things like...
smoothies.
Yeah, things like that. Hampton by Hilton, with over 2,500 locations worldwide. Book your stay at Hampton.com.
4:57, welcome back in as we put the finishing touches on hour number one of two here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM, featuring SB Nation radio programming and a whole lot more. You can learn more about 107.5 FM's new offerings by checking out our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, don't forget you can vote in the poll question. Does Iowa beat Purdue tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena? Yes or no? Hawkeyes with a win tonight. would finish off an undefeated Big Ten season at home for the men before they head to Illinois this weekend. Always a tough place to play the Assembly Hall in Champaign, but Hawkeyes could have some big momentum behind them going into the postseason. Certainly more momentum than we've got behind us going in to hour number two with Scott Dochtman kicking things off at 5 o'clock.
Do we get to talk about the coronavirus?
The coronavirus isn't exactly the table setter that I thought it was going to be today. You talk about something that's serious and people just, they don't want to hear it. They would rather, I don't know, what's some of the dumber things that you and I have talked about on here before where people have just lost their minds?
Is beer refreshing?
I don't even remember that conversation.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Have you seen the hot dog waffle thing?
Yeah, ugh.
Okay. Ugh. I know people could be eating an early dinner here, so I don't want to ruin anybody's appetite, but there's a video going around of, I think, the most monstrous thing I've ever seen created with a waffle iron, and it involves hot dogs and eggs and Heineken beer. And I'll leave it at that, and... Yeah, it's like the coronavirus. If you want to find it, you can go out of your way and you can find it. 319-366-1600. Scott Dochtman of The Athletic. He was in Indianapolis last week. He'll be at Carver Hawkeye tonight, and he's with us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. Sports Center.
Christine Lisi, breaking news. Superstar outfielder Christian Yelich and the Brewers deep into discussions on a contract extension expected to run 9 years and be worth in the neighborhood of $215 million. Both sides do believe a deal will get done. Yelich, the 2018 NL MVP, won his second straight NL batting title this past season. ESPN's Buster Olney reporting there's growing sense among the Yankees that outfielder Aaron Judge has turned the corner in his rehab. Judge dealing with soreness in his right pectoral muscle and shoulder. Feeling better, there's a chance he could be ready for opening day, according to GM Brian Cashman.
And Judge, we're still running through a car wash of testing to just rule out that there's nothing serious going on. He's been responding extremely well to the manual therapy programs that have been implemented since the complaint he had. So we're optimistic right now that he's still in play for us.
Earlier today, Yankees and Red Sox featured on ESPN's All Access MLB Spring Training. Coverage continues tomorrow. Cardinals and Mets, 1 Eastern, ESPN TV, and the ESPN app.
Coming up Wednesday, it's the best thing that's ever happened to baseball in a long time, and we've got more of it for you. Plus, you can't believe anything you hear right now in the NFL. We salvage the only shred of integrity that remains. Wednesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we'll give you this barbershop quartet who'll sing the name of the perfect hire.
Vince Lundy.
Vince Lundy.
Vince Lundy.
Vince Lundy.
Okay, there's no quartet. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
503, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for the next 60 minutes before I make my way to Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight for Iowa and Purdue. Should be a good one as the Hawkeyes a 5.5-point favorite over the Boilermakers. More discussion on that to come, including getting back in to the coronavirus-free text line shortly as well, 366-1600. And we are pressing on with our next guest, Scott Dochterman of The Athletic, set to join us now on the phone lines. He was in Indianapolis last week at the NFL Combine. We'll get to his thoughts on what he saw in a little bit. But first, Scott, Iowa and Purdue tonight. The Hawkeyes have an opportunity to finish off an undefeated Big Ten season at home. But this is a Purdue team that waxed Iowa at Mackey Arena. What's different this time around?
I think having it at Carver Hawkeye Arena makes it a little bit different. Mackey Arena, it can be a snake pit at times. We saw that with Iowa, you know, when they got crushed. It was what, like 104-68, and that could have felt like 124-58. So that was a game where sometimes those things happen when you get on the road. I mean, Michigan State got blitzed there earlier this year. But Iowa is a different team. Iowa shoots better at home, obviously. But they're just, you know, they just hold home court so well. And playing against a team like, against Purdue, which is a physical team, you tend to get a little bit more whistles as the home team. And you just, I just think that it could end up being pretty much the flip of what we saw in West Lafayette a few weeks ago.
Still all kinds of things for this team to play for, the double bye and the Big Ten tournament. They might need to win two in order to get that. But I was pointing out the fact that Fran McCaffrey's highest seed in the NCAA tournament for any team that he's had has been a 7 seed. Would a win tonight all but lock up that this would be the highest seeded team in the Fran McCaffrey era?
It should be. It should be at least a 6. If the season ended today, I think that's where they would be. And then you throw on, what happens tonight if Iowa happens to beat Purdue, then even if they can win one game in the Big Ten tournament, I think a 5 is certainly possible. So this team has done enough from its resume. Yeah, its net's pulled down a little bit simply because of some of the big, the teams that they beat that are in the 300s or whatever it's called now for the RPI and the net. But I think overall it's done enough to where it's gained the benefit of the doubt. And if it can get to 12 wins in Big Ten play, which it's done twice before, I think that's really impressive. And as strong as the Big Ten is, I think it can earn a 5 possibly. And if it gets to Saturday, you might even see something north of that.
Scott Dochterman with us of The Athletic, previewing Iowa and Purdue tonight. Luka Garza needs just 14 points, Scott, to become Iowa's all-time single-season scoring leader. Pretty impressive feat. He'd be the first person to score 700 points if he makes it 15 or more. Can you put into words what Luka Garza has meant to this team this season?
Oh, my gosh. It's been incredible. We look at this team where it was a year ago at this time, and it did get to the NCAA tournament and put together one heck of a rally before falling short against Tennessee in the second round. But when you look at the people who have left, whether it's Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss, and then, Jordan Bohannon with multiple hip surgeries, and then Jack Dungy goes down, and yet they are playing better basketball without them. And it's not because that they're not good. It's because Luka Garza has been allowed to really grow offensively and to be able to, 14 straight nights of 20 plus points per game. I mean, that's automatic. You don't get that from anybody. I mean, we've seen a lot of good guards who will score that, and then all of a sudden they'll have a 3-for-16 performance. I mean, the other day he wasn't great against Penn State, but he still scores 25. And it's just been really remarkable because they can rely on him to score when they need points. And then it allows when there's an injury like C.J. Frederick or if Joe Wieskamp's struggling, then they can not get killed when those guys are struggling or out because Luka Garza has just been outstanding. I mean, right now, no player has averaged more than 26 points per game in Big Ten play since Glenn Robinson in 94, the big dog. And then beyond that, no center in Big Ten play has averaged that kind of points and going back more than 50 years. So it's really been impressive. I think he's put himself not only in the discussion for first team All-American, but potentially the player of the year.
When you look at the way that some of the role players have been pitching in lately, Connor McCaffrey comes to mind offensively. He's been outstanding passing the ball all season. There's no question about that. But the emergence of Ryan Kreener and even Bakari Evelyn pitching in offensively, how big of a storyline is that for this team as they head into the postseason?
It's critical. It's what's the difference between, you know, getting to the tournament and losing the first or second round and then potentially getting to the second weekend, and which it hasn't done in 21 years. And when you have a player like Bakari Evelyn, a veteran who can come in, and when, you know, Joe Toussaint's ceiling is so much higher than Bakari Evelyn's, but he's also very inconsistent because of his age and his experience level. He will be very good. I can pretty much guarantee that. But I think right now, sometimes you need that veteran leadership on the floor, you know, taking the ball and occasionally hitting a three when it's open. But, you know, you know Cordell Pemsl's playing some of his best basketball of his Iowa career. And, you know, ever since he was, you know, suspended for that game a couple weeks ago after his indiscretion. And then, you know, as you mentioned, Ryan Kreener, you know, outside of Luca Garza, he might be the MVP of this team. He's just played, done everything they've asked him to do and more. He's been selfless. He's come off the bench. He's played hard. He's exhibited leadership. He's just got that quiet, strong personality. I think this, and every single one of their bench players, you know, comes in and serves a role and does good things. So I think when they get in the NCAA tournament and when they play a team and it's in a critical situation, you're not afraid that if, oh, they go to him, he's going to mess up, because I think these guys have proven time and time again they're capable of getting the job done.
Why hasn't Connor McCaffrey gotten more credit for the season that he's had, Scott?
Because he's not scoring. I mean, he is, but he's not like a Luka Garza type. That's the problem with some fans, you know, surface level fans, I would say, that they look at him and he's the coach's kid. He's a 4-star and he's not averaging 15 points a game. Therefore, he's not very good. I had this argument with somebody on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I'm like, well, he's leading the country in assist to turnover ratio, and he's probably the best post feeder that they've had in 15 years, at least. You got to give him credit for that. It's just, people, you know, for whatever reason, they look at, you know, certain numbers, and if you don't meet certain numbers, whether it's in basketball or at the combine, you're looking at that people put you down. And in his case, he's been rock solid. He's been a glue. He's been the, you know, every, you know, he's what his assist to turnover ratio is 4.57. The next closest person is like 3.9 nationally. So what he's been doing is been very much contributing to how Iowa is winning some of these games.
Is the next thing on the docket for this team these last couple of games to get Joe Wieskamp going? Because with CJ Frederick healthy and on the floor, that seems like maybe the last ingredient that Fran McCaffrey would like to check in that box.
Yeah, I mean, you want a great player, a player that's a potential NBA player, to get going. And he's been in a slump, but it's been a little bit more extended, you know, in the last few weeks. So, I mean, and in some ways you get him an easy basket or two, maybe get to the free throw line, shoot a couple of free throws because he's one of the best in the country at that. If you can get him some confidence early, then I think it'll be beneficial for the entire team, because when you see him and Frederick on the floor playing well, this team's really tough to beat, because Garza's already going to get his because he can do so many different things. But when you have a shooter like Frederick and you have a guy who's capable of an all-around game like Wieskamp, it puts a lot of stress on that defense. And Iowa has enough selfless role players who know what they need to do and really count on the team first that it's going to be really tough. So, yes, I agree. I think if Joe Wieskamp can play more effectively, you know, get into double figures the next couple of games, this team's capable of doing some damage in the NCAA tournament.
When's the last time you've seen an Iowa basketball team play with this much confidence for this long of a period of time?
2006, you know, before the horrible upset in the NCAA tournament. They were with Jeff Horner and Adam Haluska and Greg Bruner. I mean, it was a similar type of team, because they were mentally tough. They could go out and do good things. They were finished second in the league in regular season. They won the Big Ten tournament. They just had a swagger to them and a confidence, and they were capable of beating just about anybody night in and night out. You know, some of his earlier teams, you know, the 14 and 16 teams were very good, had very good players. but I'm not sure that the confidence was there for every single player every night. They just didn't have sometimes that killer guard who's going to make every shot. Devin Marble was outstanding at times, but it just sometimes you felt like that when we were in a critical situation, they weren't going to get the job done. Whereas with now and then the team with Horner and Haluska and Bruner, you kind of knew that when it came to a clutch situation, they had a very good chance of getting it done.
When you look at Luka Garza versus the rest of the field as far as the player of the year, it seems like maybe it's a two-horse race between him and Obi Toppin and of Dayton. And I know that rankings matter, and Dayton and is in the top five. They're the number three team in the country. But when you look at competition as far as the Big Ten goes, it looks like this is going to be interesting because Luka Garza has the better stats. He's played against the better competition. Obi Toppin's the better NBA prospect who's on the higher-ranked team.
Yeah, and I think what you look at is, I mean, look at the league difference.
Right.
I mean, the Big Ten, you've got 12 postseason-type teams, probably 10 in the NCAA tournament, unless one of them sneaks through and gets all the way to Sunday at the Big Ten tournament. Dayton, I think Anthony Grant, in fact, I think I voted him today, either one or two as coach of the year. He's done an outstanding job at Dayton, but you know, in an A-10 team, I'm just not going to go for national player of the year unless he is Zion Williamson type. You know, it's just Luka Garza's done things that have not been done in the Big Ten in at least 50 years. Certainly, as any player has done in almost 30. And to lead this team that was, you know, back in November after what they did against DePaul, the attrition that they had, I thought this team was going to be where Nebraska and Northwestern was at some point. And instead to be, you know, an NCAA tournament team, a top 25 team throughout the season, and do what Luka Garza has done, I think he, to me, should be number one. And I'm not saying it'd be unanimous, but it should be close to it.
Scott Dochterman with us of The Athletic. Where is Fran McCaffrey in the Big Ten Coach of the Year discussion?
You know what? I don't know if that gets decided until at least after tonight. I mean, a lot of the votes have to be in by this weekend. But, he should be in very strong consideration for all the reasons I just mentioned about Luka. Is, you know, Fran, a couple years ago when this team was, you know, struggling near last place, had no chemistry, you really questioned whether or not he had the program was going to move in the right direction. Well, he certainly has answered those questions the last 2 years, and to be able to do what he's been able to do with all of the injuries and the adversity, I think you've got to really respect the job that he's done. And then on top of that, but in the Big Ten, there's, you know, Mark Turgeon deserves a lot of credit. You know, Steve Peichel at Rutgers has been great. Brad Underwood at Illinois, there's so many great coaches. Greg Gard, I mean, after we saw him lose at Iowa, I thought they were ready to hit the boneyard. And here they are, you know, competing for not only a bye, but, you know, maybe the number two seed. So this has been a tremendous year for Big Ten coaches, but I do believe that Fran McCaffrey deserves a ton of consideration because, you know, outside of maybe Peichel, I don't know that anybody's done more this year with less expectations.
The meat grinder of the Big Ten is not ending anytime soon. The last two games are going to be fascinating to watch for everybody. But are we starting to talk about a Michigan State team that is getting hot just at the right time, like they usually do?
Without a doubt, they have all the components that you need to be good, and we've kind of wondered where has this been throughout the course of the year. And you know, I think we saw, you know, last week at East Lansing, the game between Iowa and Michigan State, I think what we saw were two teams that are headed in a similar situation where Michigan State is getting better, and they've got, you know, with Cassius Winston, you know, running the point, they're as capable as anybody of reaching the Final Four and competing there. But then with Iowa, to be able to kind of dictate tempo for 35 minutes of that game, and, you know, it showed me a lot. They didn't have C.J. Frederick in the lineup, and here they are in a place where they've won once since 1993 and yet are very competitive. I think it showed me a lot there. But, yeah, Michigan State, they're not going to win probably the Big Ten regular season title, but I would put them probably as the favorite for the Big Ten tournament title.
Speaking of showing you things, outside of Tristan Wirfs, who showed you the most at the Combine last week?
In a positive way, it has to be Michael Ojemudia. To run a 4.45 to be, what, second, I think it was, in the three-cone drill, which is, you know, change of directions, it does all those things. I think he put himself in that second to third round range, which I never would have guessed even a couple months ago. I thought he was a draft pick, but I didn't know that he was going to be that high. But he's got so many qualities about him. You know, he played really well for Iowa, a big physical guy, long arms. And then also to show out that way athletically, because Iowa doesn't run the 40, so it's kind of a you know, almost a mystery to some of these guys. So I think he really helped himself there. I mean, Tristan Wirfs was otherworldly, and we all know that. But, you know, among the other guys, Nate Stanley, I thought, had a really good combine, slimmed down, threw the ball well, posted really good times. And I think that really should, if anybody does have some interest in him, I think that should enhance it and could potentially put him in, say, fourth-round territory. Now, there's been a lot of discussion, and lo and behold, I've led a lot of the fight on Twitter about this, but, you know, A.J. Epineza's 40 time wasn't real good, and some, you know, analysts have decided that because he ran a slow 40 that you just erase all of the tape that he put together in the fall. And I think there have been other ones, you know, his broad jump, his vertical, his you know, cones and shuttles were really good. But I think right now people are to that point of forgetting how good of a player he was. So when that, you know, the combine fairy dust leaves everybody's eyes, then I think everybody will go and look and see what A.J. Epineza was able to accomplish at Iowa. And he'll be back in the most of the first-round projections.
Yeah, I was going to say this. For the most part, we chatted with Dan Shanka of our lad scouting service during the gym class, and he said that puts him right at the position that we thought he was going to be, maybe a left defensive end in a 4-3 or a 5-tech in a 3-4. It wouldn't seem that he would fall out of the first round because of this, would it?
No, and that's the thing. I mean, I kind of compare that some of these analysts are like cats, and the combine's like a laser pointer. You know, everybody's going, oh, wow, look at that. And then they forget, what did they do on the field the last 2 years? I mean, from November on, nobody had more sacks in a Power 5 school than A.J. Epineza. He had 8. He had 14 tackles against Nebraska. He showed everything that he needed to do, that he is a first-round prospect, not only a first-round project, but a potential Pro Bowl-type player. Now, he's not that quick-twitch defensive end off-the-edge burst guy. So what? Neither is Cameron Hayward, and that's the same type of player he is, and he's been an all-pro, and Richard Seymour fits that bill, and, you know, and J.J. Watt to an extent. So that's the type of player he is, and so you judge him on that. Now, his 40-yard dash time, yeah, he needs to get that down a little bit at the pro day, and I'm sure he will, but it's not the end of the world. He's not going to be running 40-yard sprints on the field and catching guys down there at the end of the field. If he has to, he will, but it's probably not going to happen very often. So I think with him, it's his quick burst, big physical, tough guy. And the film doesn't lie on him. So I think everybody overreacted, as always. They always do. And within a few weeks, the echo chamber will stabilize, and everybody will go, okay, A.J. Epineza is good enough. You know, because it's really kind of dumb when you see Austin Jackson mentioned as a first rounder, and A.J. dominated him in the Holiday Bowl, and Epineza falls out of the first round. It just kind of shows everybody how silly they are.
What's changed with Nate Stanley since the last time you talked with him in San Diego?
Yeah, he went to a quarterback coach out in New Jersey, Tony Rasiopi, and really, you know, tried to tighten down some of his mechanics. And it kind of became an issue, I think, for some Iowa fans. But all quarterbacks do that. They want to get a better feel for how they throw the football and why they're doing certain things. And really, it came down to when he was discussing his options, because he had the opportunity to go to the Shrine Bowl or the Senior Bowl, he decided to opt for the mechanics coach instead to try to, you know, brush up and fix, you know, any kind of inconsistencies he has with his throwing motion. And it should be praised. It was a good idea, and he looked good doing it. And probably more importantly, you know, he slimmed down because he was getting to the point where he was really big. I mean, he was 245 or whatever his, you know, his last year. He's now at 235, and everything looks looser. And he says he feels like he's in the best condition that he's ever been in. You know, with Nate, it's really going to be about the teams that like him. Is it a good fit for him? Because he doesn't have that that swagger, that overconfidence sometimes you need for a quarterback, or at least outwardly, you know, the way Beathard did and some of the other players. His successor probably does, Spencer Petras. So I think in his case, it's probably good to go somewhere where there's already a veteran established. He can kind of learn behind the scenes, do good things and practice, because if he went to someplace like Chicago, I'm afraid he would get eaten alive, because Everybody's kind of done with Mitch Trubisky, and I think if Nate Stanley's pressed into service too early, it could ruin him. So, you know, I think he had a really good combine. I think he's going to get a lot of looks, and hopefully in his case he goes somewhere where he can learn. And, you know, by the time he's 23, 24 years old, maybe he gets a chance to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he seem like that maybe backup role prospect project-type quarterback that gets taken in the third or fourth round? And does it seem like at this point, with just the size and the measurables, that he's sort of a lock to get drafted?
Yeah, he will. And you know, he's got 3 years' worth of starting experience in a pro-style offense. When he's on the whiteboard with those coaches, and he already had a lot of informal meetings, he's going to wow them, because he is very intelligent. He understands the system that he needs to run. And so all of those things are going to add up to him where, you know, half a dozen teams, you know, maybe as many as 10 will look at him and say, you know what, we kind of like this guy. And you know, they're going to make sure that they get him. And right now there's kind of that split in the league where you got some really talented younger quarterbacks, but then you've got some older aging ones who just, you know, are going to be gone in a couple of years, you know, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, even somebody like a Kirk Cousins. You could really use somebody like Nate Stanley. And once you get past those first couple of rounds and those top six quarterbacks, roughly, then it's all about what style of play do you want. Do you want somebody who can kind of run the zone read and do the things that Russell Wilson does? Then you probably want Jalen Hurts. If you want somebody who could be more of a pro-style quarterback, who could understand and read things and throw the ball, you know, with a really big, strong arm, then Nate Stanley might be your guy. So I would expect him to go probably no later than the fifth round.
All right, Scott. Final prediction tonight, Iowa-Purdue. What do you got?
I've got Iowa, I think, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 points, 82-71, 82-72, something like that. I kind of think they cover. I think they score enough. You know, I think that, you know, Purdue's physical. They're going to challenge them. But, you know, I've seen Iowa play a lot of good teams at home this year, and they've held serve other than the first one against DePaul. So I do think this is a win for Iowa, and something that they can really celebrate by going undefeated at home in Big Ten play.
All right. We'll see you there in a couple hours. Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us here on the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn at 5:25. If you just joined us late, you can have an opportunity to go back and revisit that. The podcast available at KGYMradio.com once we're off the air tonight.
I'm reading Nate Stanley's, or I was reading earlier, Nate Stanley's combine or NFL.com combine page and strengths and weaknesses, and they do the NFL comparison, of course. Can you guess who Nate Stanley's NFL comparison would be?
Not Michael Vick.
No, okay.
Not Lamar Jackson.
He started this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll give you that much.
The guy who got whacked with the helmet.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph is...
Was spacing on his... I almost said
Nate
Landry
Stanley's
Jones,
comparison.
But that's just because I'm all
face
in
the
on
XFL,
the XFL
yeah.
Right now. I think Landry Jones just turned the ball over again. Mason Rudolph.
Not a bad comparison.
He's an NFL quarterback.
He was a second-round pick, too.
Somebody's going to get more than they bargained for in Nate Stanley late in the draft. Doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar. It doesn't necessarily even mean he's going to have much of an NFL career, but quarterbacks are a scarcity.
He seems sort of in that, I'm forgetting the Drew Stanton, the quarterback out of Michigan State. Seems like that kind of mold where he's going to stick around for a long time as a backup quarterback.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, Drew Bledsoe took Tom Brady under his wing the first camp that Brady was at, because Bledsoe thought that Brady was going to be one of those guys who held a clipboard for 10 or 15 years. Not that he was going to get drummed out of the league quick, but not that he was ever going to be a regular player, but a guy that teams would want to keep around, the typical backup quarterback. And he thought, well, if this guy's going to be around for 10, 15 years in the league, I'm going to mentor him and I'm going to make sure that he knows what to do. Well, then Brady took his job and the rest is history. That's not going to happen most likely with Nate Stanley, but you never know. And Brady was a sixth-round draft pick. And it takes one team to really like a guy And if that team is the right fit and the door opens, the opportunity is there, you may see him get some playing time. I do think that I've watched a little bit of his film. He's worked with the quarterback's coach that Scott mentioned. He looks pretty good. Some of the throws have been right on the money. I thought I don't think he hurt himself at the combine at all.
No, he had a good combine.
It'd be interesting to see what, if anything, he does as far as Iowa's pro day. If I'm Tristan Wirfs, I'm staying at home on Iowa's pro day. I'm not even showing up in the area code of the Iowa football complex. But A.J. Epenesa is going to be one of those guys that maybe at pro day, at Iowa's pro day, he tries to perform a little bit better. But I agree with Scott. I think it's completely overreactionary. And all of these NFL mock drafts that have A.J. Epenesa sliding to the back half of the first round, there's going to, I mean, that's where some of the better teams are drafting.
Let them fall to the back half of the first round.
You don't want those teams to get any better, right? And yet the teams that will pass on him that maybe really need the help, and you're going to have a really astute front office somewhere that's going to go, we can't let this guy fall any further. I think Baltimore would be a really good landing spot for him.
I think that he fits in a lot of systems. I think that he is going to be a very good NFL player. And if he falls to the back half of the first round, I think it's possible. I think he goes somewhere between 20 and 25. That's not necessarily a bad thing for the trajectory of his career.
319-366-1600. It's 529. Let's go ahead and get a big board update here with Alex, and we'll take our next break.
The Iowa Hawkeyes are looking to finish their Big Ten slate undefeated at home and avenge their most embarrassing loss of the season as they take on the Purdue Boilermakers at Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight. It's senior night, so Ryan Kreener, Bakari Evelyn, and Riley Till will be honored prior to the game. The Hawkeyes were dismantled by Purdue back on February the 5th, 104-68, and are looking to get the season split and stay alive for a top four seed and a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, 8 p.m. for the tip-off. It's also senior night in Ames. That means that Michael Jacobson and Prentice Nixon will be playing their final games inside Hilton Coliseum as the Cyclones face the scuffling West Virginia Mountaineers. Once ranked as high as 13th in the country, the Mountaineers have lost 6 of their last 7 games. Tip-off is also set for 8 p.m. After we got off the air last night, the NCAA Women's Selection Committee released their final top 16 reveal prior to selection, their selection show for the NCAA tournament. The Iowa Hawkeyes came in as the 13th overall seed, which would make them a 4 seed and allow them to host first-round games as of right now. Iowa is the third highest-ranked Big Ten team behind Maryland and Northwestern. The 5-4 Iowa baseball team is hosting their home opener at Duane Banks Field on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Redshirt junior Hunter Lee was on the mound making the start for the Hawkeyes. They lead Grandview 3-2, currently in the bottom of the fifth inning. And some MVC postseason awards and UNI players were recognized. Let's start with the Larry Bird Player of the Year. That goes to none other than Cedar Falls native A.J. Green. The Defensive Player of the Year was Isaiah Brown. And Austin Fife, the Waverly Shell Rock product, was a first-team all-conference honoree.
All right, the text line never fails to disappoint. We've got a question pertaining to the Iowa-Purdue game and everyone's reaction to it, and we will get to that question and our answers when we return after this.
It's still Murphy's Bar and Grill in Riverside, a great place to stop and eat on your way to or from the beautiful Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Murphy's Bar and Grill has a nice, relaxed atmosphere where almost everybody knows your name. Plenty of spirits for your pleasure and a huge menu. Everything from incredible ahi to melted-in-your-mouth ribeye and all the lasagna. Mwah! Stop on out to Murphy's Bar and Grill for a great meal and a good time. Highway 22 in Riverside, Murphy. Where the fun never is.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling or to start the conversation with someone who cares by clicking on live chat or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
No matter what kind of entertainment you're in the mood for, sports talk or smart rock, you are covered with KGYM and Smart FM, a walk-off home run at the plate, or walk of life from dire straits, a long run from scrimmage, or the long run from the Eagles. Tune in anytime to satisfy your craving for infotainment. KGYM, 1600 AM, 106.3 in Iowa City, and now on 102.3 in Cedar Rapids. And Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids and 98.5 Iowa City.
5:35, welcome back in, 1600 AM, as well as 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT on 107.5 FM. It's the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hanging around until 6 o'clock tonight. We've got plenty coming your way. More high school basketball on tap, as well as Iowa State and West Virginia. That game is going to air on 1600 AM. And 102.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids. We will join up with John Walters. The pregame begins at 7 o'clock tonight. Tip-off inside Hilton Coliseum in Ames, set for 8 o'clock. Iowa State and West Virginia. Something has to give in that ball game. I was looking at some of the statistics earlier today. They are not pretty. I will leave it at that. West Virginia has been shooting something in the neighborhood of 15% from beyond the arc in its last four games, and Iowa State comes into the game this evening dead last in the Big 12 in three-point field goal defense. So you've got one team that can't stop three-point shooting and a team in West Virginia that over its last four games can't hit a three-pointer to save its life.
Should be a fun game to watch, right?
Well, and certainly an entertaining game to listen to.
I was going
to
say,
it'll
be much more entertaining to listen to than it would be to watch. So why don't you listen to it?
Your ears will not bleed. Your eyes may in watching that contest tonight. Iowa State is, I believe, a six-point underdog at home to West Virginia. This is, by the way, a West Virginia team. This time of year, I always like to look at teams that still have something to play for. And West Virginia still thinks it has a shot at being an NCAA tournament team. So they need this win tonight. Iowa State, a win does nothing for them other than puts a win in the W column for them. They're not going anywhere outside of winning the Big 12 tournament. So West Virginia's got something to play for tonight. Iowa State doesn't. Mountaineers probably have this one.
Hot take, Iowa State's going to win this game.
You think you got Iowa State winning?
I have Iowa State in this game. I've seen West Virginia over the past couple weeks. They look tight. They look like they're in a nasty funk.
They're pressing and in the wrong way.
They're pressing.
Saying.
They can't make a shot. And now they have to go on the road. They got to travel a time zone away to play. Iowa State's had some good performances at home. I'm not sold on this West Virginia team. Give me the Cyclones to win this game.
All right, well, 2752 on the First Federal Credit Union text line has a question since we're back to college basketball and not communicable diseases is that at this point. If Iowa loses tonight, will it be a, quote, sky is falling call-in show tomorrow? Declare. I like declare your intentions, says the text line. No, I think if Iowa loses tonight, I'll say it. I think if Iowa loses tonight, you'd have to be an idiot to call in and say that the sky is falling.
The sky's not falling. I'm not going to...
Iowa's not losing tonight.
I don't think anybody's going to... Well, no, there will be people. That, as we've discussed, I think that there are folks that are laying in the woodwork ready to pounce as soon as the first sign of trouble comes, and they can't really say anything right now. There's not much to be upset about if you're an Iowa basketball fan. A team that with no expectations, and in fact, really bad expectations coming in the year, sitting here ranked 18th with the front runner for National Player of the Year. If they lose the game, then yeah, there will be people who are very frustrated that they let this opportunity get away from them. They'll probably slip down into that 6 or 7 seed range, which is where we have seen them over and over again throughout the Fran era, and maybe there will be that whole Fran fatigue discussion among some folks. But you can't lose context. I don't think most people who are reasonable about this team will lose context, but like you said, it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Those people, I think, if it were to, I think those people would most likely lie in the weeds until the Illinois game, and if the Illinois game goes south, and then you go into the postseason on a two-game losing skid.
And then lose in the first round of the tournament.
On Monday, those people would be very vocal.
Yep.
But tomorrow, I wouldn't expect that. And quite frankly, I'm not expecting it because, again, I think Iowa wins tonight. As Scott said, you've seen teams lay eggs everywhere this season. Michigan State went into West Lafayette and struggled. And you play this game in Mackey Arena, Purdue wins by 25, 30 points. You're not playing it there. It's a Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It's senior night. There's a lot to play for. Iowa is still motivated. The carrot on the end of the stick is there for the Hawkeyes. I think Iowa wins this game. As Scott said, you're looking at probably an 8, 9, 10-point win tonight. For those of you who may be listening to this program for entertainment purposes, going to Riverside and the Elite Sportsbook, and putting your money on the Hawkeyes, I think they're a $2.10 favorite on the money line. You've really got to lay some juice tonight if you want to bet the Hawkeyes just to win straight up. But they have yet to lose a Big Ten game at home. And Scott's right. 2006 is a really apt comparison. That is the year that I was referencing the other day on the program where Iowa just, it felt like they were invincible at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And Horner and Bruner and Haluska, great team. You could not beat them at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And then, unfortunately, that season ended very prematurely at the hands of Northwestern State in the NCAA tournament.
I've seen some people sort of contemplate and ask whether or not this would be a team that you would put on upset alert early in the NCAA tournament. And I don't think so. Now, there's always a chance in that 5-12 game if you get a team that is shooting lights out and Iowa has one of those 5-for-25 type performances, anything is possible. But to me, Luka Garza, who's going to match up with him? Look what he's done to his in-conference opponents. Look, can you imagine what he's going to do to teams that don't get a chance to have a full scouting report on him, that don't get to see him every night? That's why I think you look at tonight's game, they win that, they're sitting comfortably in that 5 or 6 range at the worst, and then the pressure's sort of off going into Champaign, knowing that they're playing with house money and pretty much looking for icing on the cake, trying to get that double bye in the Big Ten tournament.
Our poll question tonight, KGYMradio.com, is simple. Does Iowa beat Purdue in Iowa City? And the trolls are out. The trolls are out because the overwhelming response at this point is no. You're going to have to show your work on that one, folks. I know it's fun. You just go to kgymradio.com, you click no, you throw your little pipe bomb, and then you leave and you sit back and enjoy the fallout. Show your work. If you think Iowa loses to Purdue tonight, I want to know why. 319-366-1600, and the answer better be better than I'm a fan of somebody other than Iowa. If you're trolling to troll, get out. 366-1600, the First Federal Credit Union text line. All in all, despite the fact that I tried to kill any and all momentum the show had tonight with just a terrible, terrible discussion on the coronavirus, all in all, pretty active with the listeners again tonight on the text line. So thank you very much.
Mike from Marengo adds, I have faith in Iowa in the tournament, but if they can't hit a three and Garza gets in foul trouble, they're screwed. That's the only way that Purdue is going to be able to hang in this game. They have got to get Luka Garza in foul trouble.
Now, the tournament is another animal because if you get an officiating crew that decides they're going to call the game tight and Garza gets into foul trouble, then who knows what can happen.
Right.
The NCAA tournament is the ultimate crapshoot. You just don't know. You don't know about the draw, and you don't know about the officiating. And here I am. I sound like a typical fan. It's March 3rd, and I'm already making excuses about the officiating. It's the easiest tinfoil hat scenario to go to. A team never loses because they were outplayed.
Wait, are they gonna
always be, has to do with the officiating.
Are they going to be playing games in East Lansing or something? Is that what you're...
Oh, they are not. They're not in East Lansing tonight. Where's Michigan State at again? They're on the road, right? In Michigan State is at Penn State.
Penn State. If they win that game, look out.
If they, I think they will. Penn State is a 1.5 point underdog.
They're going to make one of those patented Tom Izzo runs.
They're the Big Ten's zombie team. They come back to life every March. And when will we ever learn our lesson with Michigan State?
It's crazy, too, because this happened in the second half of the game against Iowa in East Lansing. They looked horrible in the first half. They couldn't defend. They kept turning the ball over. And seemingly, it took Tom Izzo going and turning some tables over in the locker room and telling Cassius Winston, hey, we need you to, like, score points. We need you to be better for them to say, huh, maybe we should start playing better. And maybe Cassius Winston, if I'm Cassius Winston, I should start scoring points. And since then, they have won three straight games and went on the road and dominated what people thought was the best team in the Big Ten. So look out, First Party.
More difficult game to predict tonight, Michigan State, Penn State, or Maryland Rutgers?
Maryland Rutgers.
I think Maryland wins that game. It's in Piscataway. It's at the Rack. Rutgers has been very good at home all season long. I think they've only lost one game at home in Big Ten play. Maryland's a better team.
Yeah, but Rutgers needs it to get in the tournament. Rutgers needs that.
Oh, you are turning my way of looking at things around on me.
Right.
What are they playing for? Well, Maryland is still playing for the number one seed.
That is true, but...
But you're right. Rutgers needs this to get back on slightly more solid footing for the postseason.
They know if they win this, they're in. That's the thing. They get that another quad one victory, a win over a top 10 or a top 15 team. They're a lock. But if they don't, and then they lose the last couple games, they go to the Big Ten tournament... They lose there. Selection committee is going to be saying, yeah, you haven't beaten anybody on the road. You lost your last six games of the regular season. We're not putting you in. So Rutgers desperately needs a win. They're on their home court. I don't know which way this one's going to go, but I'm inclined to lean towards Rutgers.
319-366-1600. So a great night of basketball on tap tonight with Michigan State at Penn State, Maryland at Rutgers, and of course Purdue at Iowa. Iowa State also in action this evening as the Cyclones wind down the final regular season game at Hilton Coliseum. West Virginia, Iowa State, you can hear it beginning in about an hour and 15 minutes on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM. More high school basketball on tap tonight, as well as we have for you from Wells Fargo Arena, a 2A state quarterfinal game featuring West Branch and Osage. That broadcast is going to get underway at 8:15 tonight on 106.3 FM. And then make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, that is, because we'll have North Lynn as the Lynx take on Western Christian. That's an 11:30 a.m. broadcast on 107.5 FM. So best of luck to all of our area teams that are still competing in the girls' state tournament, and congratulations to our area boys' teams who will be getting their state tournament underway next week. 319-366-1600. Poll question again available, kgymradio.com. Does Iowa win tonight against Purdue? Bad baseball news today, Alex. Bad baseball news for the Red Sox and the Yankees. Red Sox have already been hampered by some injuries, and certainly the offseason sign-stealing scandal fallout with Alex Cora losing his job has not been fantastic. Now Chris Sale is getting his arm looked at.
I'm worried about him and the future of his career.
They said it was inevitable, and he's outperformed the expectations as far as breaking down, but I think it's starting to become a serious concern with him.
He's so skinny.
Now, the opposite of that is at Yankees camp right now with the behemoth that is Aaron Judge, who is dealing with a sore shoulder area. I've seen people say it's the armpit, or not necessarily. This guy is dynamic when he's on the field. He's one of the best power hitters in baseball. The problem is he's had a hard time being on the field the last couple seasons, and the Yankees are going to start the season with both Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge most likely on the injured list. It's not good for baseball.
Sad. It's not good for baseball, not necessarily totally unexpected, because both of those guys have struggled mightily with injuries. But I think, did I hear a good update on Aaron Judge? That he's starting to turn a corner in his rehab and expected back, not necessarily expected back, but pushing towards getting back with the Yankees.
I don't know what to believe. If it's coming from the team, I don't believe it. If it's coming elsewhere, third party verified, of course it has to originate somewhere, and it most often originates from the team. But I don't know. I just, at this point, and they're still the Yankees, they're still going to be fine, but it's got to be frustrating knowing that some combination of, was it Michael Tauchman, Brett Gardner, and whoever else you have to trot out there instead of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge on opening day, it's less than ideal. 319-366-1600, 551. Speaking of opening day, Iowa baseball playing Grandview at Duane Banks Field. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up a Tuesday edition of the program. We'll let you know how the Hawkeyes are doing in Iowa City after this.
Strength. Precision. This trophy is not given. It must be earned. The 2020 NCAA Division III Wrestling Championships. March 13th and 14th at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Visit ncaa.com/tickets to get your tickets today.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, they're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Nobody thinks twice about getting a second opinion on a doctor or a lawyer. But what about when you need somebody to work on your home, like an electrician, landscaper, or plumber? Somebody doing major work on your pipes definitely calls for a second opinion. So next time you get a recommendation on a pro, get a second opinion at Angie's List. As the authority on local pros, we offer thousands of reviews, plus business info, offers, and photos, Just go to AngiesList.com. Hey, you want to feel great about who you're hiring, and we second that opinion.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Some nice college football news to pass along to everybody. Former Hawkeye Jay Norvell getting a new 5-year deal at the University of Nevada. Norvell's taken the Wolfpack to back-to-back bowl game appearances. It's a nice little raise to $625,000 a season, plus supplemental compensation bonuses based on athletic and academic program success. So, the Hayden Fry coaching tree. Everybody talks about Bob Stoops and the other well-known members, but a lot of former players out there. And Jonathan Hayes, our beloved St. Louis Battlehawks.
You beat me to it. Chuck Long, the offensive coordinator of our beloved St. Louis Battlehawks.
Caw-caw.
Drawing up white plays on the whiteboard for all of ESPN.
Undefeated at home, St. Louis Battlehawks.
You sensing a theme here? I know I am.
319-366-1600 as we wrap up back into the final 2 minutes of the program tonight. I mentioned the Iowa baseball team in action today. You could not have ordered better weather from Mother Nature herself. It is March 3rd, and it was absolutely a tremendous weather. Iowa still playing. They're in the bottom of the fifth inning, and the Hawkeyes lead Grandview 5-2. So Hawkeyes looking to improve to 6-4 in the early going, and it's always nice to see baseball back in eastern Iowa. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will be back in town a little over a month from now. The 2020 Midwest League season will be getting underway. I think the Minnesota Twins minor leaguers report to spring training this week if they're not already there in Fort Myers, so plenty to look forward to if you're a baseball fan in eastern Iowa. Rick Heller's team's going to be pretty good this season in the Big Ten, and the Twins have made the Colonels have made the playoffs every year that they've been affiliated with the Twins. So we'll have plenty more baseball discussion for you as the days draw closer, and plenty of basketball discussion for you on the program tomorrow with the one and only voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima. He joins us every Wednesday at 4:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Larry Bird Player of the Year in the MVC, the one and only A.J. Green, as well as the Panthers' trip to Arch Madness. An opportunity for you to win a very nice prize with us as well inside the 5 o'clock faceoff, and we will bring you another weekly edition of WagerWise, brought to you by the Elite Sportsbook and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. That's coming up for you tomorrow at 5:30 as well. All that plus state basketball continues. Scott Unash on the call from Des Moines, and we will have reaction to what many, including Alex and I, believe will be an Iowa victory over Purdue tonight, senior night at Carver Hawkeye Arena. If you're going to the game, I'll see you there. 8 o'clock tip-off. Should be a good one. Hawkeyes favored by 5.5 points. Local programming kicks off tomorrow with the gym class at 3 o'clock.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you.